As the country grapples with systemic racism and a pandemic, the president has been combining both, doubling down on his use of a racial slur to describe the coronavirus. Here he is at the rally in Arizona with young voters egging him on Tuesday night.
Wuhan was catching on. Coronavirus, right? Kung flu, yeah. Kung flu.
Against defenders like Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany say he's simply associating the pandemic with its place of origin, as the media has. Of course, the media does not use the term Kung Flu. And she says it's harmless, but the organization Stop AAPI Hate, which tracks self-reporting anti-Asian incidents, says since March it's received more than 2,100 of them. We want to talk about the impact of a slur, but also get the latest on where we are with COVID-19. And our next guest can do both. Dr. Lena Wen is an emergency physician and public health professor at George Washington University. She previously served as Baltimore's health commissioner. You may have seen her on CNN. And she first wants us to make clear, as uncomfortable as this is for her, she doesn't want to conflate or confuse her story with that of people in the Black Lives Matter movement. Dr. Wen, why don't you start there?
Robin, thank you so much for bringing up this topic in this way. I think it is important for us to talk about racism, xenophobia, and the attacks directed at Asian Americans. But in no way do I want to take away from the urgency and the moment for Black Lives Matter. We who are Asian American join in and support Black-led movements to talk about dismantling systemic racism and the legacy of anti-Blackness in this country. So this is not a conversation about comparing injustices, but I hope we all see it as a reckoning for what happens in this country, that we all have to be part of the solution to stop all forms of racism, xenophobia, and hate.
Well, when it comes to this racial slur that the president uses, Kung Flu, and the crowd applauding wildly, your thoughts when you hear that?
Well, it brings me back to what my colleagues who are Asian Americans and I go through. I'll tell you what I've experienced every time I write an article, every time I appear on air to give the message about how to reduce your risk for getting coronavirus, I will get messages calling me a bat eater, saying that I have no right to talk about this topic because it's, quote, my people who brought it to the country. Even people writing to me saying that you're the reason why people are dying. You should go back to your country and take the virus with you. I mean, my colleagues who are doctors and nurses on the front lines have told me stories, too, about how patients have refused to see them. Others yelling at them on the street after coming back from work where they are risking their lives to save others. You know, we've internalized this. And, you know, I think a lot of my colleagues feel like we should not be complaining. But I also think we need to talk about it because it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, our president and other public officials need to be leading the way to talk about the racism and injustice in our country, but also to correct the record. And unfortunately, it seems like our president is going in exactly the opposite direction.
Well, it has a terrible impact, any form of racism. Did I hear you correctly once say that patients in hospitals are spitting at Asian doctors and nurses?
I have heard from one of my colleagues about this occurring. And yes, it is about that individual incident, but I also worry about what this means for other patients' care. If there are patients who are somehow not trusting the advice that they're receiving from their doctor because their doctor looks Asian American, that's a big problem for that person's healthcare. And more broadly, this is part of this politicization of public health that I also really worry about. There's a reason, actually, why the World Health Organization has an entire committee that's dedicated to naming new diseases, because they know that when a disease is named after a type of people, a country, or a region, then that creates stigma, that provokes potential racist incidents and attacks that's happened for others before. And we're seeing this happening now in the U.S. and around the world.
And we understand that this false thinking that the Chinese, you know, created this in a lab that has been debunked over and over, sent it here as almost an attack, that that's also perpetuated by staffers in hospitals. And that another result, which it's painful, but it also has terrible health implications, is that there are Asian Americans who feel they can't go in to get care because of the way they might be treated.
Right. And I would say, too, that it is impacting the way that we as a country have dealt with COVID-19, because the initial focus on travel bans from China, thinking that all of this was somehow due to Chinese people, also missed the number of travelers who are coming in from Europe who actually were carrying the virus. And in fact, it's now understood that in the New York region, the initial spikes are not because of travelers from China, but from Europe.
Dr. Wen, thank you so much for sharing some of these things, because we know, as you said, you will be targeted again. So we appreciate you pointing that out. But you also are the go-to person. So a couple questions here. We are hearing about, of course, the spikes in several states, the highest rate of cases across the country. And some of the spikes we're hearing about, Texas, Florida, those were places where young people in particular were going to pool parties, were going to bars several weeks ago. And now there are many more young people in those states are testing positive or coming down with COVID-19. Why do you think we're not seeing more spikes from places that were hotspots for protests with people, you know, thousands of people marching?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I would just first say that you're right about the trends occurring across the country, that they are deeply concerning. I mean, we have seven states with a record high in hospitalizations, not just in the number of infections, but we're now seeing the lag time. And we're seeing that in places like Arizona, that ICUs are already getting crowded, that state has reached 88% capacity when it comes to its ICUs. And in fact, these are the same trends that we saw in the New York area back in March. And so we are coming to a very dangerous place, I would say, in multiple places across the country. But as for the trends that we're seeing for young people versus the protesters, I mean, I think a lot of this has to do with being outdoors in the protest and also protesters taking many precautions, including wearing masks. It is possible that we will see spikes as a result of the protests because there is a lag time. The incubation period, the period between exposure and when you start developing symptoms, could be up to 14 days. And for others, it may still take more time for that person to become severely ill to seek treatment. So there is a lag time. But so far, we're seeing from the initial results of testing of those who attended protests is that a relatively small percentage are testing positive. We know that being outdoors versus indoors substantially reduces rate of transmission by as much as 18 to 19 times, as opposed to in parts of the country that reopened. And you saw the numbers of young people going into bars and restaurants that were crowded and indoors where they're speaking and singing without masks, why there was so much spread there. And I think the lesson for all of us now is this is a very contagious disease. It is spreading rapidly across the country. There are particular hotspots that have the potential of becoming new epicenters for the outbreak. And it's not too late to turn this around. We all have to do our part. And so governments need to do their part, and policymakers really need to ramp up testing, tracing, isolation. They should consider hitting pause on reopening and requiring masks. And for all of us, recognize that just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should.
That's what I was going to ask you. What can this be done? And you say it can be done if there's masking, if there's social distancing, if opening is slowed down. And yet we saw Palm Beach County in Florida commissioners vote to require masks. And you had people lunging at the commissioners, screaming and yelling about how that was, you know, unconstitutional. But Dr. Wen, I just want to hear you say that again. You think this can be reversed?
Absolutely. And it's not just for those areas around the country that are seeing the surges. Even if we're living in parts of the country that don't seem to be seeing spikes right now, there is almost certain to be community transmission that's happening now. We're just not picking up on that level of exponential spread yet. And so we really all have to do our part. Do not take this lightly and know that each of our individual actions can affect the collective result for everyone else around us.
Dr. Lena Wen, emergency physician, public health professor at George Washington University, previously Baltimore's health commissioner. Dr. Wen, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Robin.